You're listening to Mobile Agent TV.
Radio!
Oh yeah, radio. Sorry, Dave.
Welcome to Mobile Agent TV. I am Michael Thorne of Remax Little Oak Realty in Langley, BC. And our co-host, as always, is Dave Fockware from Bridgewater, New Jersey's Remax Preferred Professionals and the Enviro Realty team, getting some relaxing time in St. Lucia. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Give me a high sign if you can't. Yeah, give me a high sign if you can't hear me very well. But
no, you're good.
I'm in St. Lucia's world.
Yeah, no,
All charged up. I came here to get. You hear me?
Yeah.
I came here to get recharged, and I'm recharged. So I'm looking forward to getting on a plane, going home tomorrow, and taking Chris' book and Gary Vaynerchuk's book, and I'm going to merge them together, and it's blueprint, and I'm ready to go.
Perfect. As always, you can interact with us live during the show on Facebook.com/MobileAgentTV, as well as you can get us on Twitter using the hashtag MATVLive, and we'll be keeping an eye on that throughout the show. As well as for all the people that are watching the show for the first time, most of you are over on our blog at MobileAgentTV.com. You can sign up for our newsletter there, and we'll just tell you about our guests by just clicking on the right-hand side. But we also have the Q&A feature now. Oh, I got to switch my cameraman off. We also have the Q&A feature for the first time. I know that the water cooler guys have tried this a couple times, so we got that going. You can also watch the show over on our Google Plus page too, as well, and interact there. And you can watch all of our past episodes on mobileagenttv.com and the iTunes and the it'll be on iTunes and Stitcher Radio about 2 hours after the live broadcast, so you can watch listen to the audio there too as well. As Chris knows, we start the show each time with a segment we call First Call. That's our idea. And so I just want to send a big shout out to Kevin Tengen of Remax Prestige in Honolulu. He sent me a tweet the other day. He says, "Hey, we've done a little bit of a branding for you guys. We just did a bit of a graphic. It was really, really cool. Dave, I sent it out to you." And so we put it on our Facebook page and whatnot. Just a guy out of the blue from Remax sending us a little bit of a new graphic, which I thought was pretty cool. So today's guest is Chris Smith. And as always, we read out our guest's 160 Twitter bio. You can get him on Twitter at Chris_SMTH. And his 160 Twitter bio reads, co-author of PeopleWork, co-founder at Curator.com, work at .loop, advisor board for at RentMatch.com, and he's the co-host of The Water Cooler. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks. Got my Twitter shirt on. Hootsuite, baby.
Your Hootsuite, exactly. So what I found very interesting, we're talking a lot about Chris's new book, PeopleWork, today, and that's really why we wanted to have him on. But you know, PeopleWork is a great book. Just finished reading it the other night, and the biggest compliment I can give to PeopleWork is I read it in two sittings. And for a guy that's dyslexic who has a trouble reading and it's frustrating for me, I couldn't put it down. It's a fantastic book. Encourage you all to read it. But what I found very interesting is later on in the book, it talks about working with other people and leveraging the skill set of other people. And what I noticed when I was getting ready for the show is there's a whole lot of co's in front of Chris's titles. He is the co-founder of Curator. He is the co-host of The Water Cooler, and he's the co-author of PeopleWork. And so, Chris, just speak to what it means to be working and finding some relationship with other people and using their talents for a common goal.
Yeah, that's actually really funny because I just updated my Facebook in the same pretense that I know my weakness, which is myself, and I know that there's things that I'm really passionate about doing each and every day that I would do for free, and I know that there's also things that have to get done to run a great business. And so what I've been fortunate enough is to have enough mentors, have enough co-founders, co-authors, co-hosts, to where over time, you know, you really start to not necessarily even learn from them. It's that you rely so much upon delegating the things that you know they're better at than you are. And so I'm not a CEO that could run a 130-person company like Austin. You know, I'm not a guy like Brad Edman that's had a couple big exits and had a lot of success, you know, in the venture capital world. You know, there's the people I'm surrounding myself, I try to always find people smarter and more connected, and then I bring my passion for selling and marketing and digital, and a lot of people don't have that passion, Mike. So I think really it's just about what do you want to do each day? I know what I want to do, And then who are some other people that if I plugged in what I do to what they're already doing, can I put gas on the fire? I don't necessarily like starting fires. I like putting gas on fires. And that requires people that are already doing well, not people that are looking to get started. But, of course, I spend a ton of time, you know, talking with those people as well. So I love where I'm at right now. Thanks for having me on. And thanks for saying that about the book. Some of the early feedback has been it in one sitting. I read it in two sittings. And we looked at some Amazon data through Kindle that the average business book gets read over a 30-session period, you know, kind of 3 minutes at a time or 10 minutes at a time. So we wanted to write it where it was readable. I've been blogging for years. I feel like we understand our audience and the kind of content they like. So of all the things that people are saying that are flattering, a quick read is not always what you say with a business book. So we were proud of that for sure.
No, it's a great read. And for the people that are watching that might not know your history, Chris, I followed you for quite some time. Just give our audience a bit of a brief history about you and the real estate space and how you sort of got here.
Sure. So it is weird to get interviewed. You know, I love interviewing people. I've done hundreds of interviews, and I've only probably given three or four. So I do appreciate you having me on, Mike, seriously.
No problem.
But I feel like I should be asking you, like, what are you doing to crush it up in Little Oak, you know? But no, you know, my background in real estate is that I grew up living in a house. You know, my parents bought a house, and it moving, and that experience at a young age, I knew how important that was. Two blue-collar police officer parents, my dad and my stepmom. And after college, during college, I became a serial renter, kind of part of the rental generation. And I probably rented 15 to 17 places in the same number of years, different cities, different states. And then as an official kind of, now I work in real estate, I work for a company called Quicken Loans. And, you know, they are a big organization. They do billions of dollars of business. Their founder is the owner of the Cleveland Cavs, Dan Gilbert. He's a very, very smart guy, culture-driven company that's really scaled being a human by using technology. So think about this, Mike. In 2006, 2007, before there was an iPhone, before there was a Facebook, all these things today that we just connect to all day, pre-people work, right? The idea is that guys were going on Yahoo News and reading the news, seeing an ad about a mortgage, clicking the ad, going through a funnel. I got their info in a CRM within a second, and we were on the phone talking about their goals and their needs, you know, things like that. So I got involved in, like, lead gen, digital marketing, real estate, kind of all at once, culture, scaling humanity, systemization of tasks, specialization of task, you know, throwing the football, drinking the slushies, eating the popcorn. I got involved with that at Quicken Loans. A lot of people don't know that. And that was about a 16-month stint where I did really well. I loved it. And I just saw that the world was changing. I was doing e-sign on a jumbo loan, $900,000 loan, this lady, Allison, California. I won't say her last name, of course. And I was actually, you know, trying to do the right thing, walking through the good faith estimate line item at a time, explaining how it worked. And this was digital. This was the first time they ever e-signed. And so I'd be going through like line item 3 of page 2, and she'd be like, oh, I'm on page 9. You know, I'm already clicking away. It's so easy. And I just kind of had these aha moments where guys like my dad, who had only ever gone to the local credit union, were seeing the efficiencies that the internet created with refinancing a big loan. And I knew that if people trusted that transaction online, you know, they'll buy a watch, you know, they'll buy a book, some of these other things that we now all kind of do, pay their bills, et cetera. So when I left Quicken because I had a kid and decided to move back to Florida, I was hired at Top Producer. The company's owned and operated by Realtor.com. They had seen my background at Quicken Loans and thought I would do good at outside sales, not just inside sales. I took over the state of Florida, and I'm really proud of this, Mike. For 3 years, every day, 5 days a week, I went to 2 real estate offices, and I taught people about technology, software, CRM, Facebook, Google, everything I do now. And sometimes there was like one guy, you know, kind of doing the Sudoku more than listening to me, you know, and that was pretty depressing. Sometimes there were maybe, you know, on a good day, straight up, there was 10 people, 12 people. And what I would do, this is my secret sauce, was there was a 30-day money-back guarantee on the top producer products, and I recognized early they weren't the easiest to use with just one demo. They required a little follow-up. And I didn't want to leave my income up to tech support at top producer. So using webinars, which most people hadn't used at the time, everybody that bought, I did an hour one-on-one within that 30-day period to make sure it wasn't just the sale, it was the post-sale, people work, right? You know, a little service after the sale. And so I became the number one salesperson at top producer by a mile. I got promoted to national speaker. And during that time, I did a little blogging. I was on the road 2 weeks out of the month. So when I was on the road, I would do videos from my hotel basically saying, man, I was at this appointment today, and I showed this like really crazy easy thing, like opening a new tab in a browser, and it was like all these light bulbs went off, so I thought maybe, you know, you guys might appreciate that in an email. And then I started a Facebook page, and then, you know, kind of Tech Savvy Agent was born from there. But, you know, I cut my teeth in a couple of different ways, but what I'm the most proud of is being in real estate offices belly to belly with agents for 3 years, and then doing 800 one-on-one follow-ups to teach them what I sold them. And half of the training, Mike, was teaching them how to log on to the webinar to do the training. So while everybody was focused on how do we sell our product, I started having these aha moments about how can I just teach people to where the cost of whatever I end up selling is well below the knowledge I bring to the table. That was my MO.
Yeah, and that really, really speaks to sort of where PeopleWork is, and I really want to get into and talking about the book because there's so many great actionable takeaways, and Dave and I have both read it. Dave read it on vacation, and I read it last week. But it's kind of interesting. Dave and I have mentioned on the show a couple times the sort of the jab, 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 right hook, and the sort of hand in hand that PeopleWork has. They're both very practical books. But I think a lot of what PeopleWork came about is a lot to do with the way Gary approaches things, because for me, Chris, you've been jabbing for me for 3 years, and this is the first, and it's not even a right hook because there's so much value that you're giving to me in exchange, but this is sort of the first right hook, especially through the Kickstarter program, where you're like, hey, look, we want our community to back this, and let's go, and Your right hook landed because you guys raised way more than what you were looking for. So just speak to what that means about service and giving first and that sort of Gary attitude that then translates into the book being made in the first place.
Yeah. Sure. Well, first of all, thanks to @GaryVee, Gary V-E-E on Twitter, if anybody's not following him. My relationship with Gary is probably similar to ours, Mike. I read his book called Crush It, and it was referred to me by a friend. I had seen a couple keynotes, and for me, it wasn't like all these light bulbs went off and I learned a lot of new things. It was a reinforcement that there's somebody else out there. I'm not crazy, you know, for staying up every night for 3 hours doing blogs and editing and Facebook. I'm not, you know, an idiot for trying this, because he's always been several clicks ahead of me, and his success has continued to snowball. And so I became, you know, just like everyone else, a fan of Gary. Saw him speak at a couple of real estate conferences. REMAX has had him twice at their R4 convention, you know, running into him in the halls, engaging with him on Twitter, and then having him on our show. We had him on the water cooler, which was really one of our best episodes. I mean, he was like in bed at a hotel.
It was a great episode.
Yeah. So our relationship, like any good relationship, developed over time. And what I learned from Gary was that the internet and digital is where you help, and that creates opportunities for you to sell. Because honestly, like even in 2007, 2008, 2009, even a right hook back then was like not really okay. You know, you had to only help, only throw jabs, only give people advice, or you saw people either only selling. So it was either all jabs or all hooks. The reason people work and jab, 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 and this idea is kind of coming to a head and creating these little minor movements, if you will, is because the technology has now connected people at such a seamless way that it's so ubiquitous that we don't have to think. So instead of us thinking about it as Facebook, thinking about it as Twitter, thinking about it as a hangout the way we have the last 5 years, now we're thinking about it as the people doing the show, the people that are sharing, the content. We're going below the surface of the tools. So where we've been in real estate, Mike, you know this.
Yep.
We have schools of thought. You either have to ignore technology and be a people person to be successful, or the other school of thought is that technology is going to make you successful. And people work is just really about blending the two, understanding that a Facebook group can build a community that will buy from you. You know, understanding that a tweet that's just a smiley face like Gary does actually helps your next book sell better, even if it's 3 years away. And so it's long-term thinking. It's being really helpful without looking for anything in return. And here's the other secret sauce. Gary was very successful before the internet made him famous. I was doing pretty well just selling software, just writing mortgages. Like, the internet and social is going to basically, you know, give you a megaphone if you're great to show more people that you are. But if you weren't great pre-web, you'll be bad post-web. So now the internet gives you a megaphone to show how bad you are. So, you know, one thing I want people to take away, we tried to be really positive in people work, talking about the upside of change, the upside of service, the upside of hiring and things like that. But the downside is just as scary. And so the ability to kind of fade away into where people just forget that you're around is also very, very easy. It all starts with, are you great at what you do? One. Two, are you willing to share that with the world? And we just live in a world where a lot of people are one or the other. They're willing to share everything they do, but they kind of suck at business. Or they're really great at business, but they see the internet as a Fisher Price kind of a thing. And so the people work businesses are going to be the ones that do both. Simple as that.
Absolutely. A lot of viewers complain that they can't see the live stream. I know that we have a ton of people actually on. I can see that here. I apologize. I could tell you where to go, but if you can't watch this, you can't see it. I apologize. If our viewers are out there that can see it, can you send out a tweet? Just direct people to the blog or maybe over to Google Plus to take a look at it. It will be recorded, so I apologize. Dave, you're on a bit of a delay, but one of the things we talked about was your excitement that the word people is being used a whole lot in our industry the last year and a half. Speak to sort of where you are, belly-to-belly guy, and perhaps your first impressions of the book.
Well, actually, I'm so enthused that this book came out, only because, you know, you've heard me say on the show before that a lot of real estate agents, even myself, you can get lost in social media and not really focus on where I'm from. I've been doing this for 35 years, and to me, it's all about belly-to-belly. It's not social media at all. But I see from this book that there's really a blending, and there's a place for both, somewhere even in between. I mean, you know, I guess I do agree with Chris that you're either going to be relevant or you're not. You're going to be involved in what's going on or you're not. You know, be follower, get the hell out of the way kind of a thing. But I put these two books together, and it's now a print. Chris, could you talk to a real estate agent out there who's listening, who has been in the business 20, 30 years, does a little social media, and this is probably, in my opinion, probably the majority of the people this needs to get to, because right now we're probably preaching to the choir. The people that are watching are kind of getting it, and the book's a great thing. But what about the people in between, the ones that poo-poo social media?
Yeah, I think that probably the biggest thing is like a mental hurdle, and I hope what they take away from even the first chapter in the intro, David, is that no matter what business you're in and no matter what revolution you operate in, whether that's industrial, digital, or people, what really is on both sides of every transaction is a person, right? And so that is not hard to convince the person you just described. They will absolutely agree that it's a people business, and that if people know you, like you, and trust you, where they've had a challenge, I think, is saying, how does that then translate when you put a layer of pixels on top of it? And what I want people to understand is that it is still people, but like the way that we would talk on a hangout versus talk in person at a bar versus text versus talk in an email, those little channels have different etiquettes. So now all of a sudden, you have to be willing to learn how to communicate with people, something you think you're already good at, in a digital-first world. And if you don't do that, it's going to be really hard to continue to be human. Like, we use an example for realtors, like you mentioned, about how does technology allow you to work belly-to-belly more. Well, imagine if you didn't have the MLS, whether it was a book, David, when it was a book, or the way it is now as a website. So imagine, you know, pre-digital or pre-people, you wanted to work with as many families as you could in your career as a realtor. Well, if you couldn't log into the MLS and look at thousands of homes at once, you would have, you know, created a lot of friction having to manually take people around the area to look at the homes. So the amount of efficiencies created by something like an MLS, which is digital and which is looked at as technology, it's actually just an enabler to work with more and more people. And so if you were to ignore the MLS, right, you would be considered a hypocrite as a realtor.
Yes, absolutely.
We believe that if you're ignoring the internet, you're a hypocrite. If you're ignoring that people look at their phone more than they look at the road while they're driving, you know, you're ignoring what you're seeing. If you're ignoring the data around the adoption of social and Facebook and Twitter and across every demographic and every, you know, the ad platforms that are emerging, if you don't understand that those are relevant at-bats with real people, until you wrap your head around that, it doesn't matter if it's Instagram, Snapchat, Vine, or Google+. It matters that you don't think that digital is people. And I think that these are people. Let me give you one example, David. I asked this at my talk. How many people here have never met me, but they feel like they know me a little bit through the things I've done online, right? All digital relationship. And a lot of hands go up. And I follow it up and I say, now how many of you, if I miss my flight tonight, would actually let me stay at your house? And maybe people are crazy, David, but about 98% of the people raise their hand again. And so for me, I don't need anyone to convince me that you can build trust and sell stuff through digital because I do it as a living. You know, I don't really need to see that, like, can a realtor or broker grow their business through technology, because I see it happening with all of our clients at Curator and really people at large every day. So what I want people that are like the person you described to just remember is that if you're not even playing the game, how are you going to be good at it eventually? You know, if you're not trying to sell online, if you're not trying to blog, trying to do video, trying to be better at email, trying to be better with your operations and dot loop and, you know, the transaction management, if you're not trying, you're never going to be good. No one is good until they try. No one is good at a game unless they practice. And the internet is the same way. I sucked. My first video, Mike, was saying that Google Wave would change the world, and I gave away, I gave away a bunch of beta codes. Like, I, you could say that I failed, and I had like two people that read it, right? You know, but at the end of the day, you're never good at things that you've never done a lot. Typically.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
if you've been in the industry for 30 years and you haven't done technology a lot, you may have to spend more time on change management. We say, you know, change requires a blueprint. So David, for that agent, their blueprint that you're saying you want to write out would require more hours of learning, more people to hire to do it, things like that. Somebody that's a little more intuitive, less outsourcing, less education needed. You know, each blueprint's a little different.
Well, you know what, Chris? Oh, by the way, Dave, you want to hold up your drink?
Yeah,
Dave, go ahead and hold up your drink. This is very, very, very water cooler-ish, even though it's during the day. I know you're on vacation. No, I saw a red fruity thing there.
Well, yeah,
it's a margarita or something.
Well, actually, yes, it is. And my wife brought me this. I don't know what it's, a penis something. Actually, I watch water cooler sometimes, and I noted with Michael one time. I said, you know, those guys drink on that show. And what are us trying to do that? We do our show in the middle of the afternoon, so I guess it wouldn't be appropriate. But we do have to do a night show, Michael, so we can drink. But I'm only allowed to do this because I'm on vacation. So.
Perfect, perfect. One of my favorite chapters in the book is clearly purpose before technology. In fact, Chris and I had a little bit of run-in. We bumped into each other in the lobby in Toronto, and we quickly talked about purpose and technology. And one of the examples I want to use that I've said on the show before that I want Chris to sort of talk about maybe a little bit is every single time I talk about technology, there's one person in the audience, usually over 50, that says, this technology is great, but it's going to ruin the relationships with our clients. And I said, well, there's an opportunity for this if you use it the wrong way. But because I'm paperless, when I'm negotiating with my client, I'm with my client at their kitchen table, face-to-face, belly-to-belly for that three-hour negotiation because I don't have to go anywhere. The traditional agent is running around from the office to the fax machine to back to the client for signatures, back to the office to send it back to me the whole time I'm with my client. So one of the great things about this book is technology is great if it sort of becomes invisible and allows you to sort of have these old school experiences where I think people get in the way of technology is they thinking it's replacing these relationships, and that is a poor use of technology. And I think the book is very, very good at saying this is not going back to the way it used to be. This is going back maybe to those principles, but using now that we are digital, now we can scale people. So maybe talk to that about this fear of technology replaces people to people, and it doesn't. It enhances or scales it, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a great. Here's a couple great examples. So if you've ever been to the Apple retail store, which we talk about in the book in that chapter, like Apple's purpose is to change the world, to think differently, you know, to really kind of be that company that is the company of our entire decade, basically, or even century. You know, Steve Jobs was a visionary leader. And when you go to the Apple store, there are so many things happening under the hood that you don't see that actually allow the Genius Bar guys to be really human. So if the guy at the Genius Bar that you were belly to belly with was the same guy fixing the computer and had to write out a purchase order whenever you walked off and had to rip that into three things and put it into three files, Apple wouldn't be as human as they are. Zappos is another great example. They're a company that's known for service, but their scale is tremendous. They're a, you know, multi-billion dollar organization. They're the largest online shoe store. And if you think about the challenges that would come with pinpointing problems in your customer service or trying to really even be human when you have 2 million orders a day, what they do is they put systems in place where if it's a first-time order, it dynamically notifies a customer service rep. If they didn't do overnight shipping, the person calls them on the phone. And they can't do that for every single person, but they've decided that if it's a first-time order and if it's an order that didn't do overnight shipping, we're going to invest in a human making that call. So it's about putting these systems like Dotloop, these systems like a really great CRM. As an example for my company, I mean, we've at Curator, we've generated like for ourselves without doing any lead gen, 700 leads and probably sent out 150 contracts in the last 2 months. And I haven't had to touch that once, Mike. I've been traveling, writing a book, doing the show, appearing with you. So, like, if there's one big takeaway from my time at Dotloop and working with Austin on the book, it's that you should be investing it as heavily in your operations systems and service technologies as you are in your marketing technologies. So, like, at Curator, we talk about in the book, we use a system called Hall.com. And it basically gives us real-time interaction with all of our employees who are never in the same place. And it's really light. It's stream. It's got a mobile app. That technology allows our culture to be better. It allows our communications to be better. It allows our support tickets to get handled quicker. So, like, there's no one in the world that could tell me that even if they are, you know, this much better with people than me, they can't beat me if I have these systems that allow me to be more human. The geeky girls, you know, Lisa Archer and Lori, they've written thousands of contracts in Dotloop, and you couldn't do that with a fax machine. You couldn't do that with an email attachment, you know, each time you wanted to crank out a contract. So stop looking at how am I going to use technology to generate more leads. Start looking at technology as how can I create as many efficiencies as possible so I can work with more people. A lot of the things are under the hood, Mike.
Yeah.
Once you put standard operating procedures and technology in place, it becomes repeatable, scalable, and systemizable. We have 85 clients now at Curator. Like, if we couldn't repeat the process through using technologies and standards, we would only have 8 clients. That's how we started. We would do anything anybody asked, anytime, write it down, Google Doc, And over time, you have to develop these systems. So I think that I hope this year is about not so focused on lead gen and a little bit more focused on lead gen through service, lead gen through quality and experience, you know, not lead gen through Zillow or Trulia. No offense to those companies.
No, absolutely. And not to say we're Apple, but go ahead, Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
No. Well, one of the things that was really fascinating about the book to me was every time I got a different principle in the book, you know, when you were talking about, say, Zappos or Amazon or Apple, whatever it was, I said, you know what, I can apply this to my little business, okay? And that was kind of the good link for me, that those principles, no matter how high they are or how big the company was, I could apply it to the basic real estate agent teams. And it just take it from there. It's a great point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the things I wanted to say was what Chris was just saying about these systems is the office that I'm sitting in right now. I mean, we built a paperless office. We have a coffee shop / art gallery in a really trendy little neighborhood, and without the technology and the paperlessness that we've been for 7 years, our office couldn't look like this, and we couldn't give that experience. I tell people all the time, you know, the traditional real estate office is the Staples store that sells Mac computers, and we're trying to build the Apple store that sells Mac computers. I mean, one's a lot to do about the real estate agent's needs, and we're trying to create something that's a lot more to do about our clients' needs, because we don't. The technology becomes invisible when it's used properly. It's not the focus of it. It sort of makes things, you know, go away so that we can focus on what's important, which are our clients.
Yeah, the reason that people are connected as much as electricity is not because technology is complicated. It's because technology has become simple. And so, like, when we talk about the digital revolution ending, you know, yes, your iPhone's going to get better and better. Yes, your MacBook's going to get faster. Yes, your Google Glasses are going to look better. But at the end of the day, these are iterations at this point. So we believe kind of that the digital revolution, while it'll still kind of finish, it really, for the companies that open their eyes, you know, David, I'm glad you gave us that feedback, because what I've been able to take away from Apple, Zappos, Whole Foods, and Mark Zuckerberg have been simple lessons or fables about decisions you can start making differently the next day. One that I want to share, Mike, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
We have a principle, and the way we did the book is that a principle is a chapter, and it's all-encompassing. So if you don't think you need our advice, as an example, on customer service, or if you don't think you need to learn surrounding yourself with other talent, maybe you just want to learn about how passion can generate profit, or how people to people is replacing business to business. We wanted each principle to be its own thing. And so one of the ones that talks to David's point is passion powers profits. And we hear a lot of times, especially on social, that passion, you know, Gary's book, Gary V, was Crush It, but the byline was, why now is the time to cash in on your passion. A lot of people don't know that. So this idea of, like, monetization of passion has kind of been circulating, and people have discussed it. But the story we told was about Mark Zuckerberg, and when he was 22, Facebook wasn't available to anybody outside of a few universities. He had two advisors at the time. He still owned like 25, 30% of the company, and he basically had told his advisors that he did not want offers brought to him. So if somebody says, we want to buy you, I don't really want to hear about it. I just want to run Facebook. My passion is connecting the globe. And at the time, you know, there was really no iPhone, no YouTube, no Twitter, no Hangout, no word social media, really. You know, it was still kind of this grassroots college thing. And Yahoo approached Mark and offered him $1 billion. And to think about that, you know, before the model had been proven, you know, by all accounts, he was crazy not to take it. He was 22, had a good idea in college. He could have got in and out. And his response to the offer was that I would never sell the company for $1 billion because all I would do is start another social network. And I really love the one I've already started. And so I think that lesson by a young kid at 22. How do you apply that to real estate? Is your passion about real estate showing properties to potential buyers? A lot of you, that is your passion. Some of you, that's the least passionate thing you could think of. Some of you, your passion is listing homes, negotiating, pricing, and providing great service, right? And so if you were a buyer's agent that loves showing homes and your sister had a friend who needed to list their house, how many times out of 100 in our industry would that buyer's agent take that listing? And if you're a listing agent and that's really what your passion is, how often have you taken that buyer that you didn't want to work with, but you did it for the money? And, you know, Zuckerberg today is worth $20 billion. Facebook's worth $100 billion. But more importantly, he's emotionally wealthy. And that's my takeaway, is that I'm going to wake up and do what I would do for free every day so that if what I did worked well, if it were acquired, my only goal would really be to do a different version of that. So, you know, that goes to purpose, and that also goes to passion. And so I think Zuckerberg, you know, catches a lot of heat in the news. There's a million lessons you could learn from Facebook, but I just thought that was a really mature thing for a 22-year-old kid to do, turn down $1 billion on a still unproven model.
No, I agree. And last, if everyone, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to say, for those of you who have not read the book, everything Chris talks about is in there. It's just so full of content. I can't say enough about it. It's so appropriate for its time for me.
Yeah. www.pplwork.com. Go there and buy it. You're going to get there. Yeah. It's right there.
Yeah, it's all in here. It's all in here, you guys. Yes, it's in there.
It's fantastic.
You know, yeah, it's been great to get the feedback. David, thanks for saying that. And Mike, I want to, are we having problems on Twitter? I'm trying to just focus on you guys.
Yeah, no. I know some people are saying they can't watch it. Some people can say they can watch it. I know Katie Les just tweeted out, say she's watching. There's a lot of people saying they're buying the book, but I know there is an issue. But it'll get out in recorded version. It's fine. If you guys aren't watching The Water Cooler Wednesday nights, 6:05 Eastern, 9:05 on the West Coast.
Yeah, Mike, can I make a quick deal to the people that can see the show live right now?
Sure.
We'll do this for the live audience only. If you go to Amazon right now and search People Work, all one word, it's going to show that the book is out of stock. And I just want you guys to know that that's the book will be showing in stock and shipping very soon. We have a limited number. So anybody that buys the book, I want you to just email me your receipt or email it to Mike, and I will send you instantly, while you wait for the hard copy, the full digital copy of the book as well. So that if you have an iPad or even on your phone, you want to start reading it while it's on the way in the mail, I'd be happy to do that kind of to the live people that stuck with us through the glitches. Go to Amazon. My email's chris@curator.com. You can also send it to chris@pplwork.com. Maybe you read chapter 1 and 2, you know, on the iPad by the pool, like my man David, and then you just grab chapter 3 and run with it, you know, when Amazon gets it to you within a week.
Perfect. That sounds like a great deal, Chris, there. But what I want to say about the water cooler, was last night, you guys started talking about this sort of thing about, you know, what is the broker, what does the broker do? And one of the things I tweeted out when I was watching the show last night, and it's in the book, I think one of the most important things, like you say, isn't necessarily about money when it comes to following your passion. Culture is really important, and what we've built here was we built a team we really, really want to work with, and a bunch of people that I love coming to work with, and I love my job. I love real estate. I love my clients. And Dave's like that too with his team. If you're working somewhere that there isn't culture and you're unhappy, you need to get out and find somewhere there is. What's the importance with you, with the way you work with Austin, with the way you work with Jimmy, for people? How important is having a place of great culture? And that means culture is built by people, in my opinion. But go ahead and talk about culture.
Sure, I'd love to, because I think, you know, I think this is a direct quote from the book, but the quickest way to kill a company is to kill a culture. And at Dotloop, the culture they've been able to create as they've grown so quickly, you know, it's really fun to watch. It's kind of that Google environment where there's bikes and food and, you know, open work environment, not kind of the bullpens of the past where everybody's kind of in their own cubicle. not a lot of closed off space, very open. So a culture, Mike, is all about, it's so important. Like, one of the things that I think is really great about culture is language. So if your culture is being from Brazil, like my wife, your language is Portuguese. If your culture is being from the States, you know, your language is English. Well, a great people work organization has their own language. They look at culture as almost like a tribal thing, where we don't call our employees employees, we call them loopers. And we don't call our customer service reps, you know, we call them squashers, right? You know, we don't have, you know, a handbook that you read on your orientation and never look at again. We write our purpose and vision for the company on every wall and door that we can. We make it real. So I think that there's kind of offline culture things that you can do, whether it's language, whether it's training, whether it's we have a culture committee at Dotloop. Every week, the goal is to highlight two employees that most embodied our culture at our company. You know, I mean, we have a culture coach, you know, that works for the company. So we think culture is critical. And so for me, like when I look for a culture, you have to understand, I'll use the analogy in the book, which is Phil Jackson, okay? Let's say you are Michael Jordan, okay?
Thank you.
You need Phil Jackson, you need Pippen, right? You need Rodman, and you need Steve Kerr somewhat equally. Even though people think of Scottie Pippen as a much better player than a Dennis Rodman, without Dennis Rodman doing the dirty work, Michael Jordan can't do his job, right? Without Scottie Pippen being the other superstar, Michael Jordan can't win the championships, right? And that was proven again in sports with like a LeBron James. And I know, Dave, you guys might not be big on basketball up in Canada. I don't want to kill the analogy.
We're good.
I got it.
Yeah,
our
I mean,
team's in Memphis
and
now.
So for me, I look at it like I personally, Mike, try to think of myself and behave as kind of, you know, a superstar, a Pippen or a Jordan. So I'm always looking for another one of those. That's where you see a Steve Passanelli as a co-founder, working at Inman News with Brad Inman, Austin Allison and Dotloop, Jimmy Mackin and Curator, and Andrew, my other co-founder. So I'm always looking for, first and foremost, the Pippen, the Jordan. If I'm Jordan, they got to be Pippen. If I'm Pippen, they're Jordan. And I don't care who's who. That's another probably important mindset to have. But then I also look for, in the company at large, do they also have the specialists? Do they have the Rodmans boxing out? Do they have the Steve Kerrs that just love shooting threes and passing the ball? And do they have the coaches in place that actually have proven that they know how to win a championship and have the record to show that? So I think that when you're looking for a new company, that's really, you know, easy, Mike, right? When you're looking to change companies, look for a lot of those things. We see Do Good Real Estate out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Alante Real Estate out of Plymouth, Mass. Go Realty out of Raleigh, North Carolina. You know, these are companies that are really driven kind of in a different way. And if the culture you're around today is not a culture that you feel like pushes you, if you're the only Jordan in the office, or if you're a Steve Kerr but there's no Jordan there to go work with, you know, the quickest way to improve a culture is to change the people. And sometimes it's quicker to leave than it is to just change, right, internally. Yeah. But a lot of people watching need to change. A lot of people watching need to understand that the word culture doesn't mean that you go down to the golf club anymore. You know, that if you are attending webinars all the time and love it, like watching something like this, and your agents are doing that too, but you're not actually doing webinars and educating your agent in that fashion, maybe there's an opportunity to improve your culture. If all of your agents are like loving Dotloop, using Dotloop, and you're a broker, Mike, don't you think you should step up and say, you know what, I see that this is a product you guys are excited about. It looks like the company has a great culture and vision. We are going to go ahead and implement this, or at least work with them a little more closely. So you also have to align your culture with your vendor partner's culture, with your service provider's culture. It's not even just you, your staff. It goes to those other rings as well. And if you're obsessed about people and surrounding yourself with great people, the rest actually takes care of itself, because I can hire a technology guy to write code. I don't know how to write code. I don't have a degree in computer science, Mike. I can barely tweak code. But I have Andrew on my team. He can write the heck out of some code. You know, I don't want to deal with customer service issues all day. I don't want to set up databases. But, man, Jimmy is a customer service freak. I mean, this guy goes to bed every night stressed out if one person has one problem. So I don't know that you can live in a world that's driven by people and technology and not have great people alongside you.
Yeah, and I know Dave's going to talk about this too as well, and everyone knows my history on the show is I was somewhere else 18 years before I joined Remax and came to the Little Oak office and opened up what we opened up here, this little boutique office. But the culture that I've experienced at Remax and the family that it is shocking compared to where I was 18 years, and it has a lot to do with where the direction we're heading. We're being supported.
Mike, honestly, you know, you're right behind you right now is a living iteration of that. You know, you don't have certain things on the wall. You have art, and yeah. Art on the wall is going to attract a certain type of agent, a certain type of client. It's going to make you walk and talk a different way. You're going to dress differently. You see what I'm saying? But here's the key. You're with Remax, and so are a ton of other people, and there's people with Coldwell and Keller and everybody else. But, like, you write your own story as a brokerage and as an agent. That's chapter 10. And the story you're writing, you create what's around you. You decided what went on the wall. You decided that you wanted to be who you're being and all these things. And a lot of times we feel stuck. We don't feel like we can just rip everything off the wall and really be who we want to be, but I want people to understand the quicker you do that, the better. There will be some humbling things that happen. You will mess up half the audience on a big live show, right? You know, these things do happen, but at the end of the day, you're going to win. You know, if you want to be a boutique, that you don't look like a Remax office. I've been down to South Beach hanging out with my guys at Sotheby's selling, you know, $7 million condos, and your office looks like their office. So you can be what you want to be, regardless of the logo, regardless of the brand. It's the people. That's why it's P2P. It's not B2C, B2B. Yeah. The people in your office, the people over at the Sage company, the people at Curator, the people at Dotloop, that's the secret sauce. But what we're probably doing differently, Mike, is we're actually treating technology as importantly as we're treating people.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is one of the keys, and Dave's heard it, everyone on the show's heard it. It's our motto, it's been our motto for 20 years. It's nothing new. It's a quote from Walt Disney. Do what you do so well that people come back and bring others with them. I mean, 20 years ago, that's just basically repeat and referral business. That's how we approach our job. One of the great quotes in the book is customer service is more than an overhead cost, it's marketing. Great service is great marketing. Terrible service is terrible marketing. We all want to focus on the best ad or the best, you know, Facebook ad or all these things. There's no better ad, in my opinion, than like super, super happy customers that just go up there and blab about you all the time. So I think it's the most important thing that we've done to build our business. Social media will provide our second largest client or drive the most business, but repeat and referral for our team blows all the numbers out of the way because we've always done that. Speak to how important, how amazing great marketing is because of great service.
Sure. I mean, I think that's where the biggest opportunity is for the next 5 years. The bar's pretty low in real estate, and the way that they went through the transaction the last time will be completely different this time. So The data shows us that people buy about every 5 or 7 years on average, which would mean that people buying in 2014 previously bought in 2007. So when they bought their last home, they were using a Palm Pilot, guys. When they bought their last home, the only people using social was like, you know, your kids on MySpace. When they bought their last home, faxes were par for the course. And so for the next transaction, because real estate, you know, is so spread out over time, the next transaction is going to be so different because you have the
Did it happen? Did Chris bail out on us? Dave. That's all right. Dave, go
I'm
ahead.
Here. I don't know. I can see his picture.
Yeah, this happens every week on the water cooler. I was expecting to happen earlier on the show. Here's my prediction. He's going to freeze. A new Chris Smith is going to show up in like 3 minutes next to the frozen Chris Smith, and we'll finish the show. That's just what happens on the water cooler, which is perfect that's happening here.
It's the water cooler. It's not us.
Did we lose it?
No, we hear you now, Chris. You there?
Yeah, I don't know where I broke up.
That's all right. Go ahead. Finish your thought there.
Yeah, the idea is that, you know, you're going to have that Zappos opportunity the next time you work with everyone you work with for the next 5 years, right? So, like, overnight shipping still works, right? The call to make overnight shipping will work for the next 5 years. That's a big freaking deal. Because what happens, Mike, is 5 years from now, it'll all be same-day shipping. So all I'm saying is, like, as the revolution unwinds, if you get the end of it right, as the people revolution begins, you're in a great spot. The ability to click to sign on my iPad, iPhone from anywhere, including, you know, St. Lucia, that is something worth sharing. If you did a great job 10 years ago, maybe David could speak to this, when you were doing whatever you did 15 years ago, 20 years ago, how pumped were you when your client took the time to write you a note and mail it to you?
Absolutely.
Pumped.
That was the only means of doing it. That was the only way to do it. You know, I actually still have some of those letters back then. I have them in a presentation folder. Letters that people wrote me 20 years ago about the service I provided.
I bet you do. So here's what I would do. Here's people work in action, Mike. Let's give a good takeaway for the viewers.
Sure.
If you have any handwritten testimonials or handwritten letters like my man and David has, I want you to scan those. I want you to put those inscribed, and I want you to put a link to those on your cool new website that say, check out my reviews from before, you know, the internet age. And I bet people would flip through those and love reading those handwritten letters. And I think it would be nostalgic and digital at the same time. And so what I'm getting at is today we can think creatively like I just did there on the fly, or we can understand that little old lady that bought that house 15 years ago, she sent you the letter, you then put the letter into a book, and then you showed the letter to other people belly to belly. And the ability...
Exactly what I did.
Time, you know, that, and at these, think about this, normally at the end of the process you would go, wow, this is awesome, right? But now a little touch like a dot loop signature, a little touch like inviting somebody into an idea book in house, right? A little touch like sending a bomb video thanking them for trusting you with their transaction before it's over. Those are now also shareable service opportunities socially, referring a friend, da da da. So I think what I want you guys watching to really do is provide service that's so great that it allows you to go for the right hook. It's so good that in that moment of greatness, you can even say, you know what, if you don't mind sharing on Facebook that we've been doing a great job, it would mean the world to me. You probably had to ask for a handwritten letter sometimes. They didn't just all write one. So I think like playing offense with asking, I'm taking right now, Mike, for the marketing of the book, all of my ads are quotes from Twitter and Amazon about the book. You know, so it's, I highlighted 33% of the book. The content is so relevant for 2014. That was the tweet. His handle is @JoeTheRealtor. Yeah. I think that is going to help me sell books, that one tweet that he did that I'll make a little prettier and use in a marketing piece. You know, I'm taking an Amazon review from someone I've known probably for years that read it right away, reviewed it right away, and now that becomes content, right? So I am marketing my service. I'm marketing my expertise. I'm marketing my success. So if you're behind on digital, to David's point earlier, don't think about that last 30 years of knowledge as just being gone. How do I put that into a treasure chest online so that people can meet me before they meet me, so they can trust me before we get on the phone? You know, some of those things that we know matter a ton.
Yeah, and we're going to finish up here now, Chris. But one more thing I just want to talk quickly about, and then I want to say a few more things, and we'll let you get on with your day. But this idea, especially when I talk about video, we've been talking about video quite a bit. We do a lot of it online and just one-on-one, was, and it's a great quote from the book, "What makes people want to work with other people are flaws, freckles, humor are what make people unique, and they also help businesses win." This idea that things have to be perfect. It's hospitals don't feel like homes because they're clean, right? Like that's yeah. I think we're so concerned that we might misspell a tweet or the photo. This, it's okay not to be this polished person. I think it's even better not to be a polished person.
Well, Mike, let me say this. I mean, let's use a couple of examples right now. First of all, I didn't shave. I should have, you know, and I wish I would have, but I was busy. But I'm not going to, like, cancel an interview because I didn't have time to shave.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to put a suit and tie on for an interview, you know, when I'm at home in Brooklyn, you know, relaxing. At the same time, you and I both have fairly equally ridiculous hairstyles. Is that fair to say?
That's fair.
So, I mean, you, like, courage...
Dave,
I mean, look at this.
Dave, it's I think Dave feels bad that we actually have hairstyles.
No, but I mean, think about even a guy like
Dave. No, hair's overrated.
Yeah, Dave's like, you know,
hair's overrated.
Dave's jealous of our ridiculous hairstyle. So think about this. We are not the poster boys for doing a video show here, obviously, right? And, yeah. You know, I think that Tom Ferry, who's been a good mentor and helped me in my career, he said something that stuck with me, which was that power starts with courage. And I think that really is the belief that, like, the crow's feet that you're spending so much time hiding on your Facebook profile picture is actually part of the reason I want to hire you, you know, and it's actually really creepy when I show up and you don't look like it. So that's kind of a you know, putting people first in a digital first world is not being creepy, where you have this completely separate brand online that you do offline. You know, Buddy King is not going to win in social, you know, because he's not genuine. He's going to only broadcast. He's not going to send a million one-off thank yous and smiles and messages. He's going to show up to town, do his talk, and go about his way because he's not actually passionate about interacting and communicating with people. And that's okay, too. You know, there's a lot of people that won't be their niche. But I just think that we sometimes in business try to be perfect. You know, we try to... We don't ship, you know, we call it in the startup world shipping. You know, in the software world, people used to ship code like once a year or once a month, and now they ship code every day or every week, and it is scary. But if you make change really normal, you'll ship more often. But I think we're afraid to ship a personal brand because we've been thinking, where's that line? You know, where do I go here, and how do I become Mobile Agent TV Michael Thorne here?
Yeah.
Remax agent, and then how do I become the dad and the husband and the father and the guy that likes to, you know, drink a few beers? And I think that the people that you admire online a lot of times are probably the ones that are willing to be humble and transparent. The politicians that you see when they get in trouble, you know, their first response to that, if it's genuine, is probably the most important thing to the American public. So I think that Gary Vee says this really well. If you always start from a good place, if your intent is good, then grammatical errors and saying something you shouldn't have and pissing off a couple people, you can always go back to focusing on purpose and intent, you know, almost Ten Commandments style, right? You know, if you're a really great person, you're probably not going to have a really bad reputation on the internet, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. On that note, speaking about great people, I do want to put one thing out there to your co-host there, Jimmy Mackin. I want you to pass along a message if he's not watching. I'm sure he's not. He's got other things to do. But I was on a webinar with Jimmy Mackin about 3 years ago. Went back in the MLS app days. I don't know if that's still around. I guess not. But he asked for volunteers. Yeah, he asked for volunteers to have their Facebook page scrutinized. Like an idiot, I volunteered, and he politely made some suggestions. But based on that, he gave us a bunch of suggestions on our community page that we started about 3 years ago. That's been an amazing driver of relationships in our community. He gave us tons of awesome advice. It'll be our second most resource of new people and Jimmy was being awesome over the years and super supportive, and I want to thank him because he's a good dude. On that note, PeopleWork, PPLWork.com is where you can go. Amazon says they're out of stock. It's going to come soon. If you send Chris at curator.com the receipt, he's going to fire you off the digital copy right now for the people that are watching. Chris, other ways people can get a hold of you, Curator, I know that you guys are, I don't know if you're taking on new clients right now. I don't know how that's working, but just get people, let people know how they can hunt you down.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, there's two ways to connect. You can connect through, you know, kind of the social channels, Facebook, Twitter. If you just search Chris Smith Curator, you're going to find, you know, Facebook page, LinkedIn, Twitter. But, you know, I'd also like people to connect with, you know, kind of what we're doing at Dotloop. You know, I'd like people to connect with the PeopleWork hashtag, you know, save the hashtag. We've got a Tumblr blog where we're going to be case studying PeopleWork in action throughout the year. What's been really great is a lot of people are coming, you know, it's becoming kind of a term, which is really neat. And people are saying, Chris, look, this was really PeopleWork, or, you know, this company needs to read the book. You know, it's usually one or the other. They either need some PeopleWork or they did some PeopleWork. And that's been really cool. So I want people to connect to the book, of course, but connect to the companies and the people behind the book. Connect to Dotloop. Go to dotloop.com. Try it out. See what you think about it. If you're a broker, you know, reach out to them. Say, hey, I heard about you guys through PeopleWork. Go to curator.com. And we're about to launch my brand new web platform.
You're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I showed you a sneak peek, which no one's really seen, but we are in, you know, kind of doubling down on content. We do an hour show a week with amazing people. We talk about all this great stuff. We share all these great resources, but we haven't done a great job of getting it in iTunes, getting it in Stitcher. You guys are, you know, well above where we're at from a systems perspective. So we're going to start putting as much thought and time into our curator content, our curator website, as we do into our client stuff. You know, we've been for about 14 months head down thinking about our clients at Curator, but, you know, we consider our free customers, the people that watch the show, the people that see us speak, the people in the tech support group, the people that are just kind of casual fans, if you will. We want to always provide a ton of value for them. Last takeaway, Mike, I want people to do a search for the Evernote cohort analysis. And you may have seen this in the book, Mike, but if you do the Google search, you'll get an image for it. Go to Google Images. And what it shows very clearly is that if you're a new user to Evernote and you're using their free product, you know, only X percent, you know, turn into paid. If you're 2 years in Evernote, the percentage that become paid at that point is basically through the roof. So there is this idea that you can lot, but you do have to help a lot for free over time. I want people to understand the overtime element. But I'm now, you know, reaping some of the harvest that I planted years ago, helping for 5-6 years. Now the book's out. Now Curator. Now Dotloop's hitting their stride. So it's really a blessing. But, you know, it's certainly not overnight. You know that, man. I've been working hard.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, we talk about Gary Vee one more time, but it is a marathon. Our first episode of Mobile Agent TV, Dave, no one was watching, and now we have a big following. Just we did it. We put out some quality content. We've been engaging. We don't take ourselves too seriously, and we get the front row seats. Chapter number 10, I think, is surrounding yourself by other people that are going to teach you. This has been awesome for us, Dave, to sit in the front lines and ask questions that we want to have asked. And if we get time, we get to the audience and we ask their questions, but we get our answers first. Dave, just a last minute, tell why people need to go out right now and purchase PeopleWork.
Well, if those of you who watched the show before know kind of dealing with social media, I'm for social media, but the people part has always been a real important component of what I do and what I believe we should be doing. This book kind of, to me, it's so pertinent at the right time. Agents out there that are kind of fighting that social media, or they're doing it and they don't really kind of grasp why they're doing it, read this book. It's got all the principles in it. It's an easy read. I've read it 1.5 times. Before I leave here, I'm going to finish it for the second time. And I just like to thank Chris. It's a great book. And for you guys, again, your agents out there that have any doubts about where we're going, either this or something else, we've talked about this before too. The industry is changing, the world is changing so fast that if you're not at least on it, on the tail end of some of this stuff, you're going to be so irrelevant and behind. And this is going to be the year of thinning the herd. And read this book, you won't get thinned out of the herd so quick.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's a must read for every agent out there. It's a fabulous book. It's anyway, people work.
Hey, real quick, Mike, thank you guys. David, seriously, thank you. I'm going to throw a right hook at you guys right now. You ready?
You got it.
So I really appreciate it, and I know you guys read the book and loved it. So if by the end of the day you guys hook me up on Amazon with a review, you have no idea how much that would mean to me, you know, reciprocating some of the stuff that I've shared with you over the years. And I do think that even when you sell 13,000 copies or, you know, you get a New York Times bestseller, you do a great job as a real estate agent for hundreds of people, you'd be amazed that if you really want services marketing to kick in, you have to be willing to ask for it belly to belly, one to one. And that's what I'm doing to you guys right now. So I hope you guys will hook me up. Thanks for having me on. I'm a big fan of the show, Mike.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, done. You'll have your review. I will send it when it goes on. So next episode is January 31st. At 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern, our guest is going to be Carla Woolnough, who is the national spokeswoman for the RE/MAX Fit to Sell program. So she's going to come on and talk about all that. If you have any referrals going, here's our right hook, Chris. If you have any referrals going out to the East Coast of the United States, get a hold of Dave. He'll get you in the hands of the right RE/MAX agent. If you have anything coming out to the West Coast of Canada, get a hold of me and I'll get you in the hands of the right RE/MAX agent exactly. And once again, as Melanie Gallia of RE/MAX Fort McMurray wants us to finish every show, please tell 5 other RE/MAX agents about the show. We grow each week. We have a great audience. A lot of people are going to be watching this show on the recording because we had some problems, but we still have a big audience watching right now that we can reach out to people like Chris that will give them, that will give us an hour of his time and give a lot of value to all our viewers. So thank you very much, Chris. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Dave, I'll see you next week. Next week. Oh, Dave, happy birthday. It was Dave's birthday yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I sent you happy birthday.
But thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. We'll see you. Actually, for those of you out there, Michael sang happy birthday to me on my Facebook, and it was inspiring.
Well, that's a word for it. I don't know if that's the right word, but that is a word for it. So, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Dave, we'll see you next week. For all your viewers, we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Mobile Agent Radio.